your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. In the next two segments, we're going to be shifting our focus a little more specifically on the markets and some of the recent moves we have seen. We are chatting right now in this segment with Dana Lyons, fund manager based out of Chicago. You can also follow Dana's work over at the Lyons Share website. I will post a link to that website. And Dana, we talk a wide range of markets because, look, I love having you on the show because you do not carry any bias into these markets. You're simply using your internal models to show you where the best opportunities are in different sectors. And I want to start off with the precious metals sector because gold has gotten a very nice buy, especially over the last couple of weeks. And as we're recording this on Thursday, gold is sitting pretty much right at that $1,900 level. This is not just key psychological resistance, but also correlates with some other technical factors that we do need to pay attention to. But again, a lot of these moves higher are being predicated on these war fears out of Russia and Ukraine. We've talked a lot about that this past week on Daily Editorials, but rotating back to you following your models and trying to ignore some of these noise when it comes to different headlines, how are you viewing the gold space in this run to 1900?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. Just to touch on the, the news headlines right off the bat, there's a difference between news events and market impacting news or developments and news headlines. So whatever the underlying developments, events of the day that move markets, that all feeds into the data, the market data that we look at, and whether it's prices, breadth, you know, money flows, that type of thing. It all impacts that. So if you just pay attention to the data, you're better off than paying attention to the news events and the headlines of the day, because eventually it all feeds into there anyways. And if the event is market moving, it's going to impact the data. So all you have to do is pay attention to the data. It's going to lead you in the right direction. And when it comes to news headlines, those are typically short-term, you know, whiplashes or short-term shocks to market prices that are almost always a fade. So, and we talked about it before, but if someone comes out with a press release, a quote, a statement, whatever, those are all highly orchestrated, and they're orchestrated to move, whether it's markets, whether it's market prices, or to, in the geopolitical world, to accomplish some sort of an end. So all of those are orchestrated. And if you're a market participant, you got to understand that and understand that, okay, there's no, it's not a surprise that, okay, we have this bearish headline coming out and it's moving prices down. That's not something that you want to turn bearish on. In fact, I've said almost probably 90% of the time these market headline movers are fades. So you get a negative shock, then you want to be buying. If you get a positive quote, a positive statement, a positive headline come across the wire, then you want to be selling into that, because like I said, it's all orchestrated. And those short-term blips, you want to basically fade those moves every time. But in the longer term, anything that is worthy of moving the markets or having an impact on the markets, it is going to eventually leak down into the data. So you don't have to pay attention necessarily to the events themselves, but how it impacts the data. And in terms of gold and precious metals, we've said it, we've talked about it a lot in the past, but our thought on precious metals, looking at gold in particular, is that the run-up to the 2020 high was basically a test of that high from back in 2011. Since then, we've basically been consolidating, working off that bull run that we saw to 2020, and in our view, is setting up the next up leg in the bull market. So eventually, we work off those excesses that were built up a couple years ago. We're able to break out and put in a sustainable new up leg. How far it goes, I'm not sure, but at this point, we've just been working off those excesses, consolidating. I think over the last week or so, we've seen some probably key technical developments in terms of breaking out of that, you know, kind of consolidation, kind of that pennant that we've been in. We still have a number of technical challenges ahead in the short to intermediate term, but we've broken through a bunch of those. So we're chipping away at it, I think. Not necessarily time to take off to the upside necessarily in the precious metals complex, but chipping away at some of that resistance. And the more layers we chip away at, the easier it will be to sustain a breakout and a new upleg.
Yeah, solid point there, Dana, that it's encouraging to see this move up, whatever the reasons are. And I, as you pointed out, there's probably too many reasons for people to even factor in how gold is moving. It's not just a war premium. There's also Fed rate hikes. There's the dollar currency relation. There's the weakness in the general markets. But it is encouraging to see the precious metals at least moving higher, but still some work to do with overhead resistance levels to take out. But speaking of the markets, you have pointed out really for a while here, you were expecting some weakness in the markets way before all the headlines started popping out over the last week or two. And you've been spot on, Dana. So when you look at the markets now, are you seeing it a similar situation where you're waiting to see if we get a bottom and a bounce here? Or are you still expecting another potential leg lower to this move that we've already seen to the downside of the general markets?
Waiting to see the next leg down, whatever form it takes, whether it's a retest of those late January lows or maybe even a new leg lower. So we hit that, like we talked about last time I was on, formed a good capitulatory low in initial capitulatory low at the end of January. Saw some good bearish sentiment, some good washout type breath readings for a good low at the end of January. Got that retracement bounce that we were looking for. Initially, the large caps, last time we talked, were hitting resistance. Those resistance levers that we were looking for a couple weeks ago. The small and broader market had some room to go. They finally got there as well about a week ago. Since then, the risk has been extremely skewed to the downside, and I think it still is right now. We've pulled back quite a bit from those highs a week ago, but I think that still in the near term, the risk is substantial that either we see, you know, a test of those lows from late January or possibly even a new leg down. And if you're looking at some of the growth areas, the NASDAQ, for example, technology, for example, I think those are setting up for further legs down where we saw in the broader market and some of the small cap issues, we saw them hold right at some good support levels, some Fibonacci retracement levels from either whether it's 2020 or even 2009 in some cases. A lot of the growth names in the NASDAQ 100 and technology sectors actually broke down and have been consolidating below those initial Fib levels. And they, in our view, setting up another leg down to potentially another lower low to that next level of key Fib levels. So depends what market you're looking at, but either way, we're looking at probably a retest of the lows or even another leg down again in those in the NASDAQ tech type sectors.
Yeah, what was so interesting to me about that NASDAQ correction is that the NASDAQ is down about 13% right now, but it bounced right when it got to almost a 20% correction. But your outlook for still lower prices for NASDAQ, can we carry this over into the broad markets and some of the calls that we're hearing of an upcoming recession, tying again into what Chad's point is that we do have upcoming rate hikes and growth has been slowing a little bit. So the argument being the Fed is going to hike us into a recession and a recession pulls down all markets. How concerned do investors need to be that a recession could be around the corner?
You know, that's not our wheelhouse, the fundamental analysis, economic analysis. Again, I would say focus on the market data and whatever is market worthy or market impactful, it will feed into the data. So whether it's you're talking about inflation, recessionary fears, Fed rate hikes, whatever it is, it'll feed into the data. And whatever it is right now, over the last several months at least, has been feeding into a negative outlook, obviously, for markets. And there's nothing, I would say, to your point of continuing fears, whether it's from rate hikes or recession or whatever, or possibly both. I think there's nothing on our radar, nothing in the evidence that we're looking at that would suggest that a low is imminent or a new return, a reversal and a new return to the highs is imminent. In fact, most things are still pointing down in our models. So there is significant risk still here in the near to intermediate term. I think the best thing that what bulls can hopefully hang their hat on is that those capitulatory readings that we saw at the end of January do indeed stick and are the basis for at least a good short-term low that maybe we retest and bounce off there more substantially. But absent that, I don't see any evidence yet, some sort of turnaround, some sort of more optimistic viewpoint right now from the standpoint of the indicators that we look at. And a lot of that has to do with the market internals and breadth and that type of thing. So from that standpoint, if it's a recession, if it's related to Fed hike, whatever, I would say there's still considerable risk right now. So I would be continue to, if talking about managing your accounts, I would continue to actively hedge, actively manage those hedges and keep exposure pretty low right now.
Dana, I love how unemotional you are and unattached to the news and that you do use quantitative models to smooth out all the noise. It's really a breath of fresh air in many sectors. So I've got to ask you about one more that's full of noise, full of opinions, but I'd love to get your practical approach on it. And that's the energy sector. I'd love to know when you look at oil or maybe even the oil ETFs with the stocks, what are you seeing there? Are we getting near a top here or is there more room to run?
I think we're getting extended. Obviously, that's one area. Even the energy stocks that have held up very well, one of the few sectors holding up well, along with financials, not quite as well, but some of the value plays. But energy certainly has been the place to be in terms of the equity market. I think a couple of the ETFs that we look at, especially the XLE, getting close to some longer-term resistance. So I would not be, certainly would not be too aggressive there. Wait, obviously, for some pullbacks to buy there. But in terms of the trend is certainly higher. Crude oil itself, the trend is certainly higher. Commodity markets in general, the trend is still up. So until that changes, I think the game plan is the same. Continue to buy the dips. But like I said, in terms of energy stocks, the trend is up. That's where the relative strength is. But we are starting to approach some key longer term resistance type metrics that we're looking at that might not stop the entire bull market, but might slow things down for a bit.
Dana, before I get you out of here, I know that the lion's share, the site that I mentioned where people can follow along with your market commentary, you guys are having a five-year sale. Please take us through the details.
Yeah, it's actually a five-year anniversary sale. We launched 5 years ago, and then we are having, we had a special pricing when we launched, then knocked off a third of the price. So we're having a sale right now in commemoration of that, and anyone signs up for an annual membership right now will get a third of the price knocked off, and it's a for those not familiar with it, it's basically an all-access look into how we actually manage money. So we take you through the charts and our looks every morning on what we're looking at and actually send out notifications on actual moves that we're making in our portfolio, you know, buys, sells, shorts, and everything. So for those interested, I would say now is a good, a perfect time to try it out, with, given the not only the discount on the site right now, but also the volatility in the market. Lots going on. We are trading like crazy right now, but it's a good time to check out the site. So thanks a lot.
All right, Dana, we'll wrap it up here. Always interesting hearing and chatting with you and listening to where you see opportunities and what the data is showing you. Because, yeah, there is a lot of noise out there and a lot of sensationalized comments that we get from both sides. And the fact of the matter is we are simply, I guess, just watching the data and seeing where the markets move, because these sensationalized calls, unfortunately, they are always around and they don't usually pan out. Dana, great chatting with you as always, buddy. We'll chat again in another couple of weeks. I appreciate you taking time on this weekend show and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Sounds great. Always a pleasure, guys.
To find out more about today's guests, Visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.